Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Proverbs 23 has words David wished could have been true for him. His unwise son Absalom killed his brother Amnon and fled the scene. He would never come home again. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a lesson on the prodigal who didn't come home. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 15 for more of the sad story of Absalom.
Oh, let's read the text. Chapter 15. After this, Absalom got himself a chariot and horses and 50 horsemen to run before him. And Absalom used to rise early. This is 2 Samuel chapter 15. And he used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when a man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, that's his father David, Absalom would call to him and say, "Hey, from what city are you?" And he said, "Your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel." Absalom would say to him, "See, your claims are good and right, but there's no man designated by the king to hear you." Then Absalom would say, Oh, that I were a judge in the land, that every man with a dispute or a cause might come to me, and I would give him justice." And whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the people. Why is this kid so mad at his dad that he wants to kill his dad and take over the kingship? Well, you know, Absalom, after he fled to Geshur because of the crime against Amnon, he was reconciled to his dad. It's a story you need to read, but there was no resolution of the issues. He didn't have to confess to anything. His father eventually brought him back because of some information and wisdom that supposedly was imparted to him, and they just pretended. This is the way dysfunctional families work. They pretend that everything is okay. Let's smooth it over. Let's not deal with it. And there's no doubt that Absalom was angry with his detached father, the great and wonderful king of Israel. Is it possible for a man to write the Psalms and be a bad dad? I guess so, because David was. All right, now, here he is. He steals the heart of the people. He couldn't have done that unless he had attractiveness, unless he had charisma, unless he was very naturally gifted. And so he uses charm to kill, and he has a rebellion against his father. It's a long story that you can read on your own, remember. We are on our way to some life-changing lessons. So I'm only increasing your interest and curiosity so that you read the story on your own. All right, now, Absalom is rebelling. David has to go up the Mount of Olives. He has to leave Jerusalem. Absalom takes David's harem and has a relationship with them sexually right on the rooftop for all Israel, so that people will know that Absalom absolutely can never be reconciled to his dad, so that those who are in the insurgency will bond with Absalom and know that there's no hope of reconciliation here. And then Absalom goes riding, and eventually he is killed. The Bible says in chapter 18 now, "And Absalom happened," I'm in verse 9, "to meet the servants of David. Absalom was riding on his mule. The mule went under the thick branches of the great oak tree, and his head caught fast in the oak, and he was suspended between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him went on." Wow. And then Joab comes along and takes 3 arrows and finishes him off. Joab was David's military commander. Joab had disobeyed David because David kept giving orders and saying, "Whatever you do, don't touch Absalom. Don't touch Absalom." Unrealistic. What do you mean, don't touch Absalom? You've got a civil war going here. You have to kill the leader because he's trying to kill you. David hears the news, and I want you now to feel the pathos. Would you enter into David's sandals for just a moment? It's the end of chapter 18. I'm reading at verse 33. David gets the news that Absalom had been killed, and the king was deeply moved and went up into the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would that I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son." Of course he loved him, but he didn't know how to show it, and he didn't know how to get involved in the life of his family. Later on, he had to be jerked back to his senses. Joab went to him and said, "You know, you're crying. You should be rejoicing. We were willing to lay down our lives for you. Some of our people were killed in this civil war." Wow, what a story. Five lessons now that I want you to write down. I want you to keep, put them on your refrigerator until you know them all by memory. You're dying in a hospital someday, and the doctor says, "Now, what were those five lessons that Pastor Lutzer taught you about Absalom?" And you spit them out, one right after another. Because now we get to pay dirt. Now the transformation happens. What are the five lessons? Number one, although a father might repent of his sin, children might not. Although a father might repent, children might not. David bounced back from murder and adultery. He was back in fellowship with God. You read Psalm 51. I mean, he was pouring out his soul. He was admitting to everything. And God even restored the joy of his salvation. But he lost his family. And after he committed adultery and murder, God says to David, he says, "You're going to pay for this sin fourfold." And four of his sons died. First of all, you have the baby that Bathsheba bore died. And you remember David wept and prayed that God would heal the child. But when the baby died, he washed his face and they said, "That's unusual. Why are you not mourning now?" David says, "I will go to him, even though he will not come back to me." David said, "I expect to see my baby again. We will be reunited. And I'm sure that they have been." But when it comes to the other sons, you have Amnon, who was murdered by Absalom. You have Absalom, who was caught in an oak tree and murdered by Joab. And then you have Adonijah. Adonijah rebelled after David died. He wanted the kingdom, but David had given it to Solomon, so they had to kill Adonijah too. And when David wept over those sons, he could not be comforted because he knew right well that he would never see those sons again. They parted their ways not only in life, but in death and forever, because there is no evidence that Absalom ever received God's grace or forgiveness or help or reconciliation. He went his own way, and I'm sure that that was true of rebellious Amnon and Adonijah too. Parents separated from their children forever. No wonder David would not stop weeping. You see, we as parents might bounce back. We've walked with God for many years. We fall into sin. We confess our sin. But when we lose moral authority in our family, the kids might not bounce back to God. Sobering. Second lesson to be learned is unresolved sin leads to further sin. Unresolved sin leads to other sins. It always increases because sin basically comes in clusters. Now, here's what happened. Absalom commits murder, trying to bring justice to a situation that his father ignored. So Absalom commits murder, and now his conscience is hardened. In my book, Hitler's Cross, I talk about the fact that Hitler had a procedure by which the consciences of young German soldiers would be hardened so that they could murder without conscience. This is very important, the deadening of the conscience. And what deadens the conscience is sin that is unresolved, that is unforgiven, that is not dealt with, that is kind of just stuffed in the soul and it stays there. And in the case of Absalom, he went from stealing revenge, killing Amnon, to being willing to kill his father. That's what sin does. It always goes farther than you thought it would. And the Bible talks about those who add sin to sin. You know, you're in sin, you've learned to manage it, and so you keep on going. because you know that for every mile you go, you've got a mile to return. And so what you do is you keep going in the same direction and you say, I don't care. This is the direction I have chosen. You add sin to sin. Many years ago, when I was the pastor of another church here in Chicago, and that was many, many, many years ago, I was asked to visit a man who was dying in the hospital. I explained the gospel to him, but he wouldn't believe. And it's not as if he had some intellectual doubts. He just kind of shook his head and said, I can't. Well, why can't you? Well, later on, I discovered that that man, I was told on good authority, had been guilty of murder and had never been charged many, many, many years before that. So here's a man, you see, who's learned to stuff it in your soul. You learn to live with your sin. You learn to live with a guilty conscience until in some way you deaden it. And then you come for God's forgiveness and you think one of two things. Either A, God isn't gracious enough to forgive me, which would be wrong because God forgives murderers and adulterers and all kinds of sinners. Thank God, and thank you for saying amen. Praise God. Because we're all sinners. You remember that college retreat where the kids put up a banner over a door and said, where you went into the auditorium, it says, for sinners only, and some of the college kids said, where do we go? You need a little lesson in theology, I think, and you need a little bit more honesty. So we're all sinners, and God could have forgiven him. But I think also, in retrospect, what that man was thinking maybe was this, that if I receive God's forgiveness freely, God is going to require me to deal with issues of lying and deceit that I have stuffed into my soul, and I just don't want to touch it. I don't know. But you add sin to sin. Hard conscience leads to other hardness of heart. It's a second lesson. There's a third lesson, and that is that there's a lesson in judgment. There's a lesson in judgment. Sometimes those who are struggling with God, like some of you who are here, I have no doubt that you're struggling with God, because in some sense you see yourself in Absalom, not in detail, but in principle. And you're struggling with it, and you say to yourself, well, I have time. Before I die, I hope that I'm going to get all this right. But like somebody told me, he says, regarding God, I'm just pushing that out to the circumference for now, and I'll deal with it later.
Today I want to simply mention that many of you who are listening possibly have a hard heart. You've listened to this message, but if the truth were known, there are issues in your life that you've not dealt with. Come before the Lord, deal with those issues, and God is going to help you all the way to the finish line.
Erwin Lutzer, retelling the sad story of Absalom, a prodigal son who never came home. Next time on Running to Win, some crucial lessons for all parents of prodigal sons. Both messages on the two prodigal sons can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.